Thank you, Anne. Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Antonella B., a compulsive overeater from Ontario.
Thank you so much. And thank you to Bobby for inviting me to do this service. I always think that it's not great timing, but then it always ends up being the perfect timing to get me out of my head. So, yes, my name is Antonella. I am a compulsive overeater. I obsess over food, over body, and for the grace of God, today I have, as of July the 24th, I guess a year plus. But I first came to OA in 1998, and I found out about OA through another program. And in that program, where I was getting abstinent from the substance, and I don't mind to share this, it was NA, I was growing larger and larger and larger. And I remember saying to someone, "I don't understand, I'm trying so hard and I can't." She says, "Well, it's perfectly normal. It happens to everybody." And then she kind of mumbled something about, "There's this program for people that eat a lot. It's called OA." And I remember going, "Oh God, that's all I need," because I was going to so many meetings. So, when I think back on that, I'm just remembering something that I heard Saturday from a speaker, and it was, in the beginning, there was denial, delusion, and defiance. And I have some quotes from different pages of the Big Book. So, I mean, I just say, if you want to grab a pen and write it down, if it's, if you think that it would be helpful. So I do have some notes. I was feeling a little nervous. I suffer from perfection and performance. So, and I sometimes saying that just, helps me, to move on and know that, God is going to help me to share what I need to share, for you to hear what you need to hear. And I guess what's so important is, oh my gosh, there's 38 people that are here because, whatever's happening with the food is bringing them misery, and that's what it was, for me. I'm going to go to page 30 in the Big Book. It's a chapter that's more about alcoholism. So for me, it's more about compulsive overeating, and this is sort of, step one. After, we'll see if we have time. Like I'll get a little history, because I want to really emphasize on the importance of step 8 and 9 and how that's helped me in my recovery, and step 10, and of course, step 3, which is connecting with my higher power and surrendering. So, okay, page 30, and it is, I believe, the second paragraph, and I want to say, I learned that I had to fully concede to our out to my utmost self that I was a compulsive overeater. This was the first step in recovery. The delusion, and there's that word that I just said, the delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. And I remember hearing, like reading that smashed, it seems so hard. And one of the things that I know for myself is I've always been so hard on myself. People that know me, you're so hard on yourself. You're so tough on yourself. If I err, there's just so much, shame. So what I have written on the side here is, yes, it has to be smashed, this idea that I think that I have power over food, with compassion. And that has been so important. For whatever reason, way back little, my idea of not being good enough or being bad or fear of punishment just really messes up with my head. And the reason that happens is because, or the reason it happened is because, I didn't have any guidance. My parents were both sick. They had no capacity. So if they had no capacity, they weren't able to give me the tools, that I needed. So that is really, and that whole page, it goes down and it talks about what I did with the food led to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And when I think of my binges, that's the way they made me feel. And once I started, I could not stop. It would be from store to store to store with excuses of, oh, I'm picking up for friends, like anything to just camouflage the fact that what I was doing was very abnormal. And I remember once going into a gas station store, and I was going there all the time, and the fellow looked at me and he just had this sadness in his eyes. Anyway, so the step one and coming to that, for me, it was pain. Like I had to suffer. My body stopped. I lost control of my body, bodily functions. That was my bottom. That's what happened. And when that happened, I was willing to remember what that woman had said and found a meeting and started going to meeting. And I remember that first meeting, reading the big book and under my breath going, what the hell are they reading the big book for? I'm not an alcoholic. I was like, just so. But today I love this book. I love that I can, I'm in actually three different fellowships. And so when I read this, pending on, if I'm working with a sponsee, I can change the words to that particular struggle that I'm having. And I love this book, and, I'm so grateful. So on page 47, this is, We Agnostics is a chapter that talks about, step two, and coming to believe. And I for sure believed in God. I remember, as a little girl, I truly believed that what happened to me, that I was able to get through it because of my love, for the church. But as I got older, and just there was a lot of chaos and in my life, I remember thinking of God as this old guy with a beard sitting up in a cloud with lightning bolts, literally, and just aiming them. And I was like ducking because of all the things that I was doing that I didn't like, but I just couldn't stop. And not just with the food. So, on page 47 and that whole, chapter, We Agnostics, is about step two. It says we needed to ask ourselves one short question: do I believe, or I'm even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? And this was really hard in the beginning because of my confused, but my being, having had an experience in another 12-step program and seeing success, like I believed in the group and the people that got up and picked up, medallions that had showed pictures that were once one size and then, became another size. So it, it really, truly was, hope. And then of course, step three, when I first heard the step three prayer, like it just made no sense to me, but today it does. And I can tell you that I have relief from bondage. There are still times when, I'm challenged, and, what I come to accept today is that, yes, I am a compulsive overeater. My disease is progressive, and I can go back exactly where I was, and that scares me. So that is a gift. That is a gift, from God. That I, that I know that for certain. So, okay, let me just maybe just take a few minutes and start with my story. And I'm just gonna take a moment and just take a God breath here. I grew up with abuse, physical, sexual. My mother left my dad when I was 2 years old. Grew up with a man thinking he was my dad, and he wasn't. And it was very scary. And his alcoholism, as well as his abuse, became very progressive. At 9 years old, he kidnapped my brother and took off to Italy. And at that time, my mother and I lived together, and we were so happy. And I said to her, "Promise me that we'll never have to see him again." And then she promised, and of course, that didn't happen. During that time, she introduced me to my real dad. And so when this man came back in our life, I was 9 years old. I snuck out of the house, grabbed a few things, got on a streetcar, headed to my dad's, and said, "You know, this man is back and I'm scared." And so started my life with my living with my father. He registered me in school the next morning. And you know, we would go to relatives, and they would make my lunch, and they would feed us, and then we'd go back home and sleep. But eventually my dad fixed up the kitchen, taught me how to cook, and I started doing grocery shopping. I must have been maybe 11, 12. And so when I was a little girl, I don't ever remember having any kind of attachment to food. We were very poor, so everything was scarce. So I was very slim and, you know, didn't have an issue. But the moment I went to live with my dad, and he was a compulsive eater, I was introduced to sweets, and you know, and I remember exactly what I ate the first bite, and I remember the feeling, and I remember feeling that ease and comfort. And unfortunately, you know, my teenage years were all about dieting. You know, was the era of Twiggy, if those of you that remember. So it was very scary. I was in the first Weight Watcher, teenage Weight Watcher class, and went up and down and up and down. As I got older, went to doctors, got diet pills, and then I started using diet pills. Then in my 20s, I met someone, we got married, I joined a diet place, lost a bunch of weight, paid a bunch of money, went on the honeymoon, put all the weight back on. During my first year of marriage, I did get pregnant, and unfortunately, my husband rejected me. And during that time, his reasoning was, "You've put on so much weight, you're so fat, you're so unattractive." So you know, that didn't go over very well. So you know, there was a lot of shame, there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of confusion, not feeling good enough. You know, my dad was also extremely strict and controlling, and he would have fits and throw things, and I'd run away from home. It was just crazy insane. And it turned out that I ended up marrying a man that was like my father, very jealous, very insecure, and just never happy, you know, with me. So all of this time, you know, my obsession with food just got worse and worse. And then finally, my oldest son got kicked out of school, and for using drugs. And that's how I found out about 12-step program. And so in order to support him, I started going to meetings. So then jumping forward, I guess after I had my children, the realization, one of the things that I realized is I started understanding more about being a mother and things that had happened. And unfortunately, I had a very, very, trying to think of the word. I had a horrible relationship with my mother. There was no relationship. I couldn't hear her voice. I couldn't talk to her. I would only call her when I needed to use her to do something that would, you know, benefit me, you know, with my dad, which was really, really sad. And I hated her, and I blamed her for allowing, you know, the abuse to happen to me as a child, and for not protecting me. And so, you know, the things that were ignited in me was entitlement. You know, when anything, you know, would happen. I would just feel this entitlement because look what happened to me. I suffered so much, this, and just, you know, entitlement and self-reliance, not trusting, making decisions that I, you know, should have gone, you know, with people like to ask, and I never did. So, and I apologize if I'm jumping around, my lack of sleep and ADHD, but coming into OA the first year, I did what I was told, got a sponsor. At the time, I remember, just do 3 meals, nothing in between. If you can lift it, you can have it. And this is what the speaker shared, you know, and she was also there when I came in 98. And, you know, but I wasn't losing weight. And my sponsor kept encouraging me. So eventually, I ended up, my food, you know, changed. And I started losing the weight. And I had another sponsor. And what she always talked about was, you need, you know, I like my food to be clean, lean, serene. So this was kind of my mantra, you know. And then I became a personal trainer and studied a little bit of nutrition. And so there was a different, you know, a relationship with food, but I still wasn't getting it. I still wasn't surrendering. And I remember one day in a meeting crying out and saying, I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. You know, I've been doing everything that I've been saying and it's not happening, you know. And after the meeting, everybody got up and chit chatting and like I was left there. And I got so upset that no one came over and talked to me. And I ended up leaving OA because of that. And I went to another 12-step program where I did lose weight. I almost got to 200 pounds at the end of my marriage when I joined OA. I've been, you know, around 140 for a few years, you know, and go like it goes up and down. But so I'm around 140 now. I don't weigh myself often. So, and I got down to 120. So I looked awful. I looked awful and I was still miserable. I'd lost the weight and I was still miserable. So I left that program and did no programs for a few years. And there was a lot of unmanageability. The weight, you know, I was able to sustain, but the other areas of my program began to cause unmanageability in my life. And, you know, and that is why I know today I'm in 3 programs. I have sponsees in all of them. I attend in-person meetings, Zoom meetings as often as I can. Everything for me needs to be balanced. I cannot hide and I can't let something make my life unmanageable. What I've learned, you know, so I came back to OA, I guess about 4 years ago. How am I doing with time, by the way? How much time have I got left?
12 minutes.
Okay.
12 minutes.
Getting close. Okay. So I came back to OA about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm not certain. So it took me a while, you know, to get my abstinence. And, you know, what I have learned and what is different here is that, well, first of all, the gift was when I decided to come back to OA and I saw, you know, this is really sad and I hate to say this, but it was the truth. But I also know that I cannot take personally the fact that people that I knew, nobody reached out and said, hi, Antonella, good to see you, welcome back. And I was grateful that one woman did, and that woman is my sponsor today. So, you know, what I try and do is when I'm at a meeting, always make sure to reach out, to look for that person standing by themselves. For many years, I was not that kind of person because I didn't have the capacity because I was so involved in what was going on in myself, you know, what it talks about in the step 3 prayer, you know, the bondage of self. And so there's no anger there. But what I've learned is when I go somewhere, you know, God gives me the boat But I have to row. I can't afford to take things personally. I have to have compassion. I have to know that I don't know what's going on in everybody in other people's minds. You know, all I know is that, you know, I have the tools to pray, to ask for help. The other amazing prayer that I love is the fear prayer on page 68. And, you know, that helps me a lot. And I can change it around. You know, sometimes it's just God help. I'm scared. You know, sadness is here. You know, depression is here. The compulsion to eat is here. Direct me, show me, you know, and then it's like putting one, you know, foot in front of the other. So what I learned from this sponsor is that, and it took me a while to commit. I would call her. I would send her pictures of my food. She was so patient with me, my God. But, you know, I finally said, I'm ready. What do we do? So we made a list of the foods that I binge on, the foods that I don't binge on, the foods that are kind of, you know, iffy. I think we put them in categories of color. And we came up with an abstinence plan, which was three meals a day with nothing in between. And I was fighting that nothing in between. Because, you know, in my training thing, it was like, you have to have little snacks and you have to fuel your body. But I surrendered and I listened because I knew that I, you know, what had started happening with the food hadn't happened for many years. And that was, I was turning to sugar and I couldn't stop. And I was eating out of the garbage. I was eating things that were frozen, like the insanity and the fear. And I saw the progression, and that's what made me come back and commit. So and we started working the steps, and we would meet every week, and I would do my written work, and I would go to as many meetings as she suggested. And at the time, you know, everything was on Zoom, so it was very easy to get to meetings. The other thing that has been extremely helpful to me is knowing that failing to plan is planning to fail. And I had a little incident the last night. I went out to dinner with some friends in my other fellowship, and I didn't call ahead to the restaurant and look for the menu. Now, I made a really abstinent choice, but I was in resentment when people were eating all these things and sharing, and I had my, you know, grilled chicken and onions. Like, I was pissed off. But rather than holding that in, I focused on the fellowship. I immediately reached out, because one of the things that has been key for me in this abstinence is understanding that I cannot afford to minimize any kind of feeling. It is dangerous. I am a compulsive overeater. When I minimize something, and I'm good at that because I survived as a little girl by being in denial, what happened to me should not have happened. And I'm not even going to go into what happened. It's not necessary. But denial is a strong force in me that to this day, sometimes I, you know, I remember things and I like I'm baffled. So yeah, having a plan. So I always have prepared food in the freezer. And you know what? I don't suffer with my food. I enjoy my food. I'm a good cook. I, you know, make my food, you know, tasty. Once in a while, I get bored with my food. Why do I get bored? When there's challenges, and it happened recently. I had a lot of stuff going on. And even though I did the resentment prayer and read the last page, let me see, and I put a, where is it here? Page 552, that whole story is amazing, but it talks about resentment with their mother, and the way to cure this is to do the resentment prayer, pray for someone, wish them all the best, wish them everything you want, even when you don't want it. So I did this in several situations. And the other thing that I did is I journaled. But there was still something going on. And what I've been able to learn with the pain and the crying and the tears that have come up this week is sometimes, you know, my body holds on to things, even though I think that I've done the work. So this is a very good lesson for me. This is new. This is like a little spiritual awakening. So what can I do? I can just be with my sadness, you know, be with my fear, and just pray and ask God, What is it that I need to learn? If I do something with the food, rather than shame myself, take this opportunity to learn. There's one of the meditations books that I read has this beautiful chapter on learning, that there are no mistakes. As long as I can learn, you know, and my sponsor and I talk about doing a postmortem. You know, usually if I'm going to binge or something happens, it doesn't happen that day. It's a buildup. You know, usually by my, you know, minimizing things, not picking up the phone and calling. And that's been hard for me because, you know, especially when I'm really down and depressed, I don't want to bother anybody. I think I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. But, you know, I have been taught and I practice that when I pick up the phone and I say, I need to check in, that's a key word. I need to check in, that the person on the other end knows that I need to share. Now, they don't necessarily have to give me an answer, but I need to release this. And sometimes in talking, and what I tell my sponsees, pick up the phone and call. Even if you get an answering machine, talk it into the answering machine, let it out. The other thing that my sponsor and I talk about is, oh, I love this one, the slippery slope. So if I'm not clean with my food and respect my disease, it's like I'm lighting the fuse that's going to blow up the bomb. And this is actually something I learned from my sponsor in my other program, because we have, you know, bottom lines, middle circles, and we talk about that. So the other day I had to say to my sponsor, you know, I added some honey on my yogurt. I didn't want to tell her because she's constantly telling me how good I am. And I don't want to tell her that I did this, but I knew that I had to, because otherwise I would have kept doing it again and again. And then I wouldn't have just had that one portion. I would have had two and three, because don't you know that yogurt and fruit and oatmeal is so healthy for you? Like, that's what my addict tells me, because my addict is sneaky behind my own back constantly. Okay, the acronym SHAME, should have already mastered everything. Absolutely not. I've been here since 1998. I've got a year and a half. I'm constantly learning. Like this week, my learning was amazing. You know, the fact that we've all shown up here is absolutely incredible. And the important thing is that, you know, that we keep showing up and keep coming. The other thing that's helped me in all of my addictions is, and this I heard from a woman in OA many years ago when I did say, you know, I just don't get it, why I keep binging, why I just can't get it. And she said to me, Antonella, just pray for the willingness to be willing. So I was having some struggles earlier on this year in my other program. I wanted to stop and what I was doing, and I couldn't. And all I kept doing is, God, I don't want to do this, but I can't stop. Please help me to be willing to be willing. And then all of a sudden I hit my bottom. And what made me hit my bottom is that this other addiction was going to cause me to lose my abstinence, and my medallion was planned, and also my sobriety in my other program that I have 7 years. That has changed my life. And if, you know, that is God.
2 minutes.
Sorry?
2 minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. 2 minutes.
Yeah. So, So I'm, you know, so, so grateful for that. Looking at my notes here. Oh, the spiritual principles. The spiritual principles that are attached with all the steps are the way that I live my life today. They are the way that I live my life. I had a coffee date with someone today from the gym, and I was a little nervous because I haven't dated in a very long time, and I brought God with me. And what I was looking to see if this man had spiritual principles, and he had none. So I've deleted him and blocked him. And you know what? And thank God that I could say, you know, to him, you know, what you're talking about is not appropriate. And, you know, I'm really not comfortable here. I could never do that because I never could say no. Like, saying no is really tough. Okay, so I don't know if I've said everything that I want to say. I did put my phone number in the chat. If you call, just tell me what program you're in. I'll do my best to get back to you. On page 275, the keys to the kingdom. OA is not a plan for recovery that can be finished and done with. It is a way of life. And the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep any human being striving for as long as he or she lives. We do not, cannot outgrow this plan. As arrested compulsive overeaters, we must have a program for living that allows for limitless expansion. Keeping one foot in front of the other is essential for maintaining our arrestment, the progression of our disease. Others may idle in the retrogressive groove without too much danger, but retrogression can spell death for us. And somebody shared at our meeting that we lost a fellow. They died, they lost body parts and still could not stop binging. So this is real. But regression can spell death for us. However, this isn't as rough as it sounds. As we do become grateful for the necessity that makes us toe the line, we find that we are compensated for a consistent effort by the countless dividends we receive. And I have to say that I do have countless dividends. I have beautiful tools. I have a beautiful fellowship. I have so much love that shows up in different ways. And, you know, I have a son in this program that struggles. And what I'm able to do is put him in God's hands and know that I am powerless over him. But to keep telling him that I love him, that I have faith in him, that I know he's got this, he keeps coming back. But more importantly, that God's got him. So I pray that we can all find our connection with our understanding of our God. However, like we use the word God in this book, but truly, and that's the other thing I wanted to share and I didn't, it really is our own conception of however we interpret that for guidance and love. So thank you everybody for showing up, for allowing me to be of service, and please, please keep coming back no matter what.
Thank you so much, Antonella.